No one can tell your story like you can. Welcome to the Testament Podcast, a ministry of Canyon Creek Presbyterian Church. I'd like to welcome you today to a special episode of the pod. I am the bearded one, Pastor Chris, and I am glad to be with you today. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be doing a special series on our new worship initiative called Stir. Undoubtedly, many of you have heard of this venture, this grant-funded venture. As we seek to raise awareness about this ministry within the life of this congregation, we're going to be doing a special series on Stir, and I'm going to be speaking with a few folks that have attended Stir a few times, maybe once or maybe every single time, just so that we can share the story of Stir, because we recognize that sometimes you can't get a true description of something just in print. It's best to hear from people, and that's what this podcast is all about. Today, our guest is Daryl Frederick, a member of Canyon Creek Presbyterian Church. How are you this morning?
Good. Thanks,
good.
Chris.
Thank you for being here with us. Just before we begin, tell me just a little bit, or tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are, what's your background, what do you do professionally, what your background is spiritually, just a little bit about yourself.
Okay. We joined Canyon Creek. My wife's name's Lisa, and we joined in December of 20, and I've been attending off and on since, obviously with the pandemic. And I'm recently retired, actually 1 year ago. I was a probation officer for 31 years. Worked at Dallas County for around 11 over 11 years, and then with the U.S. District Courts for another 20 years.
Okay.
So I'm kind of figuring things out now.
Sure.
And, you know.
Doing podcasts for fun during the day.
Yeah, I have time to do things and just kind of figuring it out.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about your, you know, about yourself spiritually. You know, what do you come from the, you know, did you grow up in the Presbyterian Church or?
No, I didn't. I grew up in the Mennonite Church.
Oh, wow.
In southeastern Pennsylvania. And I went pretty much all my life when it's not a real conservative Mennonite. I mean, they dress the same as they do here at Canyon Creek.
Sure.
So it wasn't like, you know, I didn't have like a hat and stuff like that. But then I went to also, I graduated from a Goshen College, which is a Mennonite affiliated college in Goshen, Indiana. And then graduate school, Texas A&M Commerce.
Okay.
And spiritually, you know, probably started, you know, I attended through high school and participated in youth group and went to college and, you know, had convocation in chapels and really didn't attend church then. And then right after college, I moved down here to Dallas where I met my my wife. Her name's Lisa. And we've been here ever since. I have two kids, 23 and I have to think, and 20. I think I got that right. Maybe 22 and 20.
That's
so
scary.
Yeah, it is.
I'm at 11 and 6 right now.
You start to forget
scary.
Your kids' ages. That's
yeah.
Not good. So,
oh my
but,
goodness.
And you know, we never really found a home church here. We while the kids were young, we attended a church, but most of the kids there did not attend where they went to school, so they didn't feel like they fit in as much.
Sure.
We kind of forced it on them a little bit. And then we went through a stage where we really didn't attend church for a while. And then I just decided it's time for us, our family, to find a church. And just kind of branched out. We live in Murphy, so
okay,
just around the corner.
Gotcha. So what comes to mind when you think of the word worship?
Time with God, I guess it would be with. I didn't look it up necessarily, the definition, but it'd be more, I think you'd got to have some people together, a group of people.
Sure.
And just setting aside time to worship. I'm using the word and the definition, but to spend time with God and to fellowship and to experience God and have the Holy Spirit move within you and to keep one grounded and going in the right direction. And
sure.
You know.
Sure. So with your, you've had a diverse background when it comes to, you know, spirituality, right, and worship, I'm sure, with being in a Mennonite tradition and a Presbyterian tradition. I guess, so my question would be, why, what made you decide to visit STIR?
I like the, I just wanted to go check it out.
Sure.
And, you know, I saw some of the pictures, and I thought, well, I need to, you know, see, this is good. I have the time now, you know, when I was working, sometimes it was hard for me to, I just forget about it sometime on Thursday nights.
Absolutely.
Now I have the time. It's like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to check it out and see if I like it. And, yeah, I have to say, you know, to me, I like it. It's just different than the normal, traditional, 11 o'clock service.
Sure. And, sure. It's almost like you came out of curiosity.
I did.
Yeah. So, how has STIR been meaningful to you?
It's really been a time. You have to attend to understand it. For me, it's coming in. It's peaceful. I would imagine if you took everyone's blood pressure, I bet it drops. There's no real distractions. The lighting is just helps set the setting, if you want to call it ambiance. And over, it's, go ahead, you can help me out here a little bit.
Yeah.
It's up.
Well, it's relaxing. You know, one of the things I've found, and we've often wondered, is if, whenever you think a different, you know, we use the word alternative worship experience, right? And it's hard to define what that means for folks, especially who might have attended church and they know one way to do it for a really long time.
Right.
And one of the things, you know, we've often said, you know, we always say things like, you know, there's a, you know, God has a big house, you know, and God speaks to different people in different ways. But it's interesting when it comes to a conversation of worship, I've found that that's when folks really kind of tighten up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're willing to stretch and to right, a stretch, right? To think beyond, you know, when it comes to mission or things like that. When it comes to worship, people get typically pretty boxed in. And so one of the things, even with the word alternative worship experience, I'm pretty sure people think that we probably got like 50,000 instruments and someone screaming at you. And I think one of the things that I found in talking to people is they come in, they realize it was completely not what I expected.
Exactly.
Because when you hear alternative worship experience, you're thinking this massive production that it's going to be loud and in your face. And it's totally not that, right?
Not at all.
Yeah. What's interesting, I even heard from a person or two that actually fell asleep.
And it felt very relaxing.
And I said, well, you shouldn't, you know, you know, rest is a thing, you know, but, and it wasn't through the whole thing. They just for about 5 minutes. And they said, that's the first time that I've been able to stop, truly stop, all week and kind of be. So, with that said, what do you think is there anything about STIR that's challenged you?
I walk out of there feeling challenged and thinking about, usually there's a theme every time. I haven't attended a ton of STIR. I've been there about four times.
Yeah.
Four or five times. But it's always, I leave feeling good. And not any specific thing that's challenged me.
Sure.
But it's always brought me closer to God.
That's interesting. That's interesting you say that, because one of the things that challenged me, you know, as being one of the worship leaders, is the silence. I am not comfortable inside. I am one that always has earbuds in, and I'm constantly listening to a podcast. I'm listening to a game. I'm listening to a YouTube video. I'm listening to a show. If I'm in my office, I constantly have sound. And so when we had talked about as sort of a planning team, you know, allowing space for silence and intentional silence and quiet and being really mindful of the level of noise that we have, it has been sometimes even for me a little distracting, because I am one that likes a lot of noise. So that has challenged me as a leader to really be intentional and allow that time, because I think something's wrong if there's no noise, just at home. I'm like, what's going on? You know, where are the kids? You know, why is there no, you know, what's going on? And so it's really been a growing edge for me, just having that space.
I did ask my wife, I asked Lisa this morning, said she attended one time.
Sure.
She hasn't gone with me every time.
Sure.
I'm encouraging her to.
Sure, sure.
Hopefully she will, but... And she said it was, there were no distractions. And I think that kind of takes off what you just said. It was just quiet and peaceful.
Yes.
Spiritual.
Yeah.
And it was still worship without having a lot, you know, people coughing around you or loud music or, you know, you can hear yourself sing. If you want to sing loud, you can sing a little louder.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, you don't have a chorus. You know, and that's the difference, kind of how I grew up. Mennonite church, they're more, very rarely do they have music that accompanied you. It would just be singing, you know.
Right.
Just be the song director up there. And,
yeah.
And everyone sings, I guess, what's that called? Acapella or something?
Yep. Yeah. So it was almost kind of, in a way, familiar.
It was.
Because that's one of the things that our music leads, Norman and Vanessa, are really intentional about. And it weirded me out a little bit because we said, let's not do lyrics on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're focusing on the lyrics, you're not focusing on actual what's being said.
Yes.
You know, and it's okay if you don't know, be present in the song, listen to the song, and then after singing it two or three times, we'll teach it and we'll go back and sing it again.
Okay, yeah.
And when they first did that, I was like, no, that doesn't work. We need lyrics. So because that's the thought. But it's like, well, how can you focus on what's being said if you're worried about getting that particular word or verse right?
Right.
And that weirded me out a little bit because I was like, no, we got to have lyrics. You can't have a service without lyrics.
Right.
So it's interesting that you say that, how that might be familiar for you. If you were to take out one element of Stir, what would you say would be the most impactful element? Right. So, you know, we do the part where I do a message, mm-hmm. and sometimes that message is different. It's right. Different in length. It might use some video. Sometimes we've started with, you know, we don't start with a Bible verse all the time, even though mm-hmm. we weave it in. We may start a different place. We're very intentional about having worship time with music and
yes.
song. And then we also do a spiritual practice
yes.
That Diane does, which she's very much called and has a real gift to do that sort of thing, that we do a contemplative spiritual practice, a different one each time. Some are more active, some are more reflective. Then at the end, we just have an open-ended time where you can, we have a prayer station where there are prayer candles that you can light on behalf of yourself or someone else. We have communion available
yes.
That you can pretty much go and get as you want or if you choose not to. So which part of those, we kind of see it as like this four quadrant deal. Which ones, is there one that speaks more to you?
You know, I changed my mind a couple times or you were going over them.
Yeah.
And I'd say I like it all. I mean, initially I was thinking the spiritual time, you know, being able to get up, you know, light a candle, saying a prayer for people, that not just one. You can light several candles for people.
Yeah.
I like that you're able to take communion every time you attend. And it's, you know, it's not necessarily formal communion. Walking up, you walk there yourself, and you can, it's a time for quietness and prayer. And then when Diane does her, what we call it, presentation or when
yeah.
she does her part, it's like,
her
it's,
practice,
it's also a relaxation.
Yes.
Her voice is incredibly calming.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And, she has a message, and she usually, the times I've attended, there's usually some sort of participation,
yep.
Which I think is great, because
yeah.
too often I think it's easy, you know, you come to the 11 o'clock service, you can just kind of sit on the corner or the end or, you know, in the balcony or,
sure.
and not really get involved too much. I mean, while here, you're not forced.
Sure.
But it's encouraged, and it's open to do that, and I, that's something I would like. What I like about it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, when the first time I came, I thought it was really neat. There are two TVs that are set up, and I know it had like the solar system.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, this is cool. You know.
Yeah.
And it's different every. It seems to be somewhat different every time I've attended.
Yeah, that's a big thing, and why we do that is it's simply just because life does not unfold in the same way every day. Mm-hmm. And one might say, well, it does, you know, you kind of go through the, you know, you're in a different, you'll find a different rhythm, obviously, mm-hmm. in retirement, right? But, you know, some would say that same rhythm of, you know, it is the same. You get up, you go to work, you do the things, you take this one, then this one, and mm-hmm. this one, this one, you come home, eat, you do the same thing every day. But one could argue that's kind of the reason why we sort of live in a place of stagnation, is that we do the same thing all the time. And while there's value in consistency, there's also value in flexibility, yes. right? And we are human beings that are all over the place. And I think part of spirituality is to help bring a balancing, a centering, a sameness to it. But I think if you stay in sameness too long, it breeds complacency, or it breeds stagnation.
Yes.
And so in many times the experiences that we have in life, one of the things I've always questioned is how do we allow for the reality of life to flow in our worship? And while, you know, I love a liturgical order, sometimes my life or even my morning does not reflect this order, you know, I know what's coming here. That's not what my morning was like, mm-hmm. let alone my week, right?
Right.
And maybe one of the things that people don't realize is, you know, they think that it's just like, it's just thrown together, that what we do is just kind of thrown together. And really, you know, STIR has a liturgical order.
Yes.
You just don't see it. Mm-hmm. And that's intentional. We're very thoughtful about what happens here, what happens there. But we have a working understanding that if it needs to change, it can be changed instantaneously.
Yes.
I can look at, we've had moments where I've looked at Diane, or I've looked at, you know, we have that flexibility. Our musicians, we're normals, will give me a nod. And I know that means we're going to sing another song because they're, folks are singing that song and they're engaging with God. And so we're going to keep that going. We're not going to stop it to get right. to the next thing because we're supposed to.
I've really enjoyed their music.
Yeah.
I look forward to it every time I.
They're a real gift, and their story, you know, their story, their church history. You know, that's one of the biggest things. That's a strength. We have even within our planning team, there is such a theological diversity, and our worship team and our worship committee at the church, our pastors. There's a great theological diversity among us, but with STIR, there's a tremendous amount of theological diversity. With Diane's background in interfaith work, I mean, she's ordained. You have John McClure, who's one of our, I mean, his class, if you've ever been to a class that John has done, you know, coming from a Baptist tradition, but who has just this really unique way of seeing the Bible and teaching the Bible and understanding the Bible and talking about the Bible. Mm-hmm. You have me as a worship leader who didn't grow up in church at all, who learned about being Presbyterian wow. in seminary. Mm-hmm. And then you have Norman and Vanessa, who come from the Seventh-day Adventist tradition.
Okay.
So you bring all of these things together, and it's really, truly kind of that lives out every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see almost like this, it would seem like those things would conflict, but they really don't.
And that's so important.
Yeah.
And you know.
Yeah. So that's really it. And I'm glad you said that you kind of find those different pieces. And obviously, I mean, Norman and Vanessa, their music is such a gift. And even how we found them.
How they ended up here, I guess.
What brought them to us. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, you couldn't have made it up.
First time I was here, I thought maybe they're guests.
Yeah.
You know, guest musical presenters, but they've been there every time.
Yeah,
I guess they're part of it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And even how we
see, I'm still learning about it as we talk.
Oh,
today.
How we found Norman and yeah. Vanessa. I mean, Brandy worked with Vanessa. She's a teacher at South Garland High School.
Okay,
and Brandy we've been here 4 years now, and she's been there much longer than that. And they never crossed paths in the same school. they taught the same subject. Even they both taught English. You know, my wife's she's in the AVID program now, but they never ever crossed paths. They had seen each other, but never crossed paths. And it was, hey, we're doing this thing, and you know, Brandy, I said, Brandy, you know, we're having a hard time finding musicians. You know, help me out. You know, Brandy comes from a family of musicians. And so I was like, I need you to, you know, is there anyone? Talk to your choir director at your school. Mm-hmm. Do they know anyone? And she reached out to a coworker, and they're like, oh, you need to go talk to Vanessa because she can sing. And so it just, you know, hey, I didn't know you worked here. My husband, their church, they're doing this thing. And it just so happened to work out that her and her husband did worship leadership. You know, it's been a big part of just mm-hmm. their relationship, music ministry. They've done it pretty much their whole life. And so I tell you, we met them, we hooked up one evening on a Friday evening, and we just wanted to, and it was Brandy and myself. We just came to the church at like a, it was like an 8 o'clock on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, we were here till almost 11.
Wow.
And they just sat a chair in the middle of the sanctuary, and there was no notes. There was no sheets. It was just two green chairs, him and his guitar. And the first 30 seconds I looked at Brandy and I was just like, so they're just doing this with nothing, and they literally just showed up with a guitar and just started. They did about two or three songs, and it was just like, oh my goodness. And so then they just, we were just all singing,
mm-hmm.
just listening to them sing all night.
Wow.
And it was just amazing how we found them was mm-hmm. even sort of what Stir is about. So what would you say to someone? If you were here on a Sunday morning, or you're in a Sunday school class, or, you know, in the parking lot, and someone came up to you and said, hey, you know, I've been thinking about coming to Stir. You know, I know maybe I heard your podcast interview. You know, what, mm-hmm. you know, what would you say to someone who's thinking about coming but not quite sure?
Probably right where I came. It's like, give it a try. Just come on. You don't necessarily have to bring your whole family. Go yourself. If you need to kind of check it out yourself before you invite your whole family to come, do that. I actually did that the other day. I saw someone who's a member here. I told her what I was doing today, and I said, yeah, have you ever attended? And she goes, no, I thought about it, but, you know, sometimes on Thursdays I just forget, or, you know, and I says, well, you ought to try it. It's really great. I really like it. You know, I even like it better than the 11 o'clock service. You know, that's just my opinion.
Sure.
But, yeah.
And I like
so
that.
I was able to do that. And I think that's, you know, probably for it to grow within our congregation, that's the way it's going to have to be, that people that do attend, you know, need to reach out to the people that they know.
Sure.
Because it has, like, changed a lot, I'm sure, over the...
Oh, yeah.
How many sessions? 20-some sessions?
Yeah, we're at 20. This week will be 22. I mean, I can't even believe it
mm-hmm.
that we've done 22 of these things. But I think that's a really good place... to just come and try,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's interesting that concept. You know, that's very much in, you know, that's in our theological language. This concept of come and see,
mm-hmm.
come and see. You know,
and like you said, it's not all. It's not going to be drums and guitars and this and that. I think when people hear an alternative service. That's what they're thinking. It's going to be mostly music, and it's not.
No, it's the first. And it's interesting when we did it. You know, we thought we were going to be one way, and then when we did it and we started living into it, we realized kind of who we are.
And ages too.
Yes.
Some people think it's all going to be the youth group, and it's not.
Yeah.
They're just all ages.
Yes. We've gotten a little bit of everything,
mm-hmm.
which was always the intent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for being on the pod with us today.
Oh, you're
hope
welcome.
You've had fun.
Yes, I have.
And glad and thank you for making the time. And we hope to see you again. Take care and enjoy figuring out what life is like retired.
I will. Thanks.
Take care. All right. Have a good one. And to all of you. We always end the podcast with the statement, and we think it's important on the Testament podcast that we end this way. In a world that is so divided, when there's so much conversation about what's right and what's wrong, who's right and who's wrong, we like to say always, if you've ever find yourself faced with a situation where you're thinking about that, always do what's most loving. You can never go wrong there. Take care. Have a good day.